May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jan Richardson, a United Methodist pastor and retreat leader and artist, has written a poem about a prayer about the Canaanite woman from this story in the Gospel of Matthew. It's called Stubborn Blessing. Don't tell me no. I have seen you feed the thousands, seen miracles spill from your hands like water, like wine, seen you with circles and circles of crowds pressed around you and not one soul turned away. Don't start with me. I am saying you can close the door, but I will keep knocking. You can go silent, but I will keep shouting. You can tighten the circle, but I will trace a bigger one around you, around the life of my child, who will tell you no one surpasses a mother for stubbornness. I am saying I know what you can do with crumbs, and I am claiming mine. Every morsel and scrap you have up your sleeve. Unclench your hand, your heart. Let the scraps fall like manna, like mercy, for the life of my child, the life of the world. Don't you tell me no. Stubborn Blessing by Jan Richardson. One of the things I have hanging on a wall at home, and has been ever since, for years and years and years, every time I move, I take it out and hang it back up on the wall, is a metal oval plate with an Eastern design on it, made of probably copper, maybe silver or nickel, I'm not sure what the other metal is, that my grandmother gave to me years and years ago. The design on it is that there's a dragon and a lot of ornamentation. And I like the plate itself, but it's the history, it's the story behind it that keeps it on a favorite place on my wall. My grandmother herself was an amazing woman. She was born in 1898 in Covington, Kentucky, and lived much of her life in the Midwest. She was independent beyond her era. In something like 1917 or 1918, she married my grandfather with enough money saved up to divorce him if it came to that. As she told me years later, no man was going to make a fool out of me. Well, she needn't have worried. And if you knew my grandfather, you would have laughed out loud, because he was the sweetest, you know, kindest, most gentle person in the world, and they were married for over 60 years. In 1958, she and my grandfather moved to India for 2 years. I guess she was 60 years old, I didn't remember that, but he was a chemical engineer for Kaiser Steel and was sent there to help start up some steel plants. And they lived in South India in Jamshedpur. And my grandmother set out to reform India. And if she'd been there long enough, she probably would have. She was trying to get people to plant crops differently and all sorts of things. You know, she did a lot of things. They traveled around quite a bit while they were there. And I don't remember where she was when she met the woman who sold her that plate that I have on my wall. But I do remember her story about the woman herself. She was a refugee from a nearby country, probably caught up in one of the many horrible religious wars of the time. And she was traveling through this foreign land with her young children by herself. She had escaped from where she was with her life and their lives, and only what she could carry. And so my grandmother bought that plate from her to help her with money for her travels. I remember my grandmother talking about this unnamed woman with great respect and admiration. Anyone that my grandmother admired was well worth admiring. And so the plate is up on our wall in memory of a courageous woman who was willing to make a great journey in a foreign land for the good of her children. In another time and place altogether, there was another courageous woman who was fighting for her child's life. She too was willing to risk crossing the boundaries of culture and religion. This Canaanite woman was so determined to help her daughter that she broke numerous cultural taboos all at once. She was yelling to a strange man of a different religion in public. She must have heard that Jesus was coming through the region and gotten herself positioned on the road. And so as Jesus and the disciples traveled by, she began to shout, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." She recognizes Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lord, as the Son of David. Now, this gospel story, which is only is found in one other gospel as well, I think it's Mark, but I'll have to go back and look, is very strange. And some commentators wonder how it ever got into the scriptures, because Jesus in this story doesn't come across as the Jesus that we know. The woman recognizes him as the Son of David, the Lord, and Jesus at first doesn't respond to her at all. He's completely silent. And the disciples get tired of her loud, persistent shouting and ask him to send her away. Jesus, in this story, at best, comes across as insensitive to the woman's needs. So what do you think is going on in this story of the Canaanite woman and Jesus? He finally answers her in a manner of speaking. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, you, a Canaanite woman, are outside the bounds of my ministry. Now, many people would have just taken that answer and left disappointed, but not this woman. She will not give up. She throws herself at his feet and says, "Lord, help me." And Jesus answers her again, another strange answer. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," he says. Now that response would have sent most people running off with their tail between their legs, so to speak. But again, not this woman. She accepts the place she is given. She accepts that she is an outsider. And she uses his analogy and turns it around. "Yes, Lord," she says, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Now, at this point, Jesus seems to do a complete about-face. He praises the woman for her great faith and tells her that her daughter is healed. What a strange story. It raises some interesting questions. When did Jesus understand his identity as the Son of God? And when did Jesus understand his mission as the Son of God? Did Jesus' understanding of his mission develop and change throughout his life? Some people think that Jesus spoke with the Canaanite woman in this way in order to teach the disciples a powerful lesson. And that may be true. But others interpret this story very differently. What if the Canaanite woman challenged Jesus' self-understanding of what his mission was? Up to this point in the Gospels, Jesus' ministry has been only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But after his encounter with this amazing woman, Jesus opens up the boundaries. He widens his ministry to include Gentiles and all nations. Is it possible that the Canaanite woman was Jesus' teacher in this story? That she was the catalyst for him to widen his gaze and include all people? Maybe Jesus did not know everything all at once. He was human and divine, we must remember, in some mysterious way that we cannot understand. And sometimes I think we forget his humanity. Perhaps he was not born knowing all that he was and all that he had to do. Perhaps, like the rest of humanity, he had to learn a lot of it along the way. Perhaps he was willing to admit that he might need to change the rules that he was living by. In any case, the Canaanite woman remains for us a model of persistent faith and courage. She encounters Jesus at a turning point in his ministry, and he will never again narrow his focus. He will never again say, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Could it be that God actually needs us? That is an astonishing idea to some people. But many of the great spiritual teachers throughout the ages, many of the mystics, make that point over and over. They understand our relationship with God to be one of mutual giving and taking. Hildegard of Bingen, a 12th century mystic, spoke of humans as co-creators with God. Co-creators with God. Perhaps the Canaanite woman was a co-creator with God. Perhaps we are called to be co-creators with God. Something to think about as we remember this remarkable woman and her refusal to go away until she got a blessing for her child. Amen.